Amen. Thank you, Brother John, Ms. Lenita. If you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to Mark chapter 1. This morning we'll be in verses 40, and we'll go to verse 45. As we studied last week, if you got to catch the Facebook Live, as we found out about the demon possessed, we found about the healing after the Sabbath at sunset, the preaching in Galilee, what he was called to do. He was called to preach the Word of God. And now here comes an interesting gentleman that you've heard probably from Bible school, Sunday school, for most of your life, the leper. And we want to study this a little bit because it's pretty interesting when you get into it. Every commentary that I've read, I mean all the way from Calvinist to Arminians and all the way in between, every commentary I read said that the leprosy is an illustration of sin. Okay? And I can see this, and we'll point it out to you as we work through the scripture this morning. Leprosy. There were seven different types of leprosy. I didn't know this after studying this. The main type of leprosy was the type of leprosy we know as today, Hansen's disease. And Hansen's disease was founded by a Norwegian scientist by the name of Gerhard Hansen in 1873. He found the bacteria that was causing leprosy. And when they zeroed in on the bacteria that was causing leprosy, they were able to find a cure. As a matter of fact, leprosy today, if you or I were to get it, it is something that is curable. It's something that is treatable. But back in Jesus' day, there was not. As a matter of fact, there's only two instances in the whole Old Testament that somebody was cured of leprosy. That's found in 2 Kings and in the book of Numbers. Miriam was cured of leprosy. And so when we look at this today, this is pretty outstanding to think about this man. He has this leprosy, and what has started here is this scaly, tumorous bumps have started on his face, on his head, on his body. And Dr. Brand, who is one of the world-renowned experts on Hansen's disease, says that 99% of people that have leprosy, they do not feel their hands or their feet. They have no feeling in their extremities. So you've got to look at this. So when you don't have feeling in your extremities, like I have a friend of mine, a really good friend of mine that's an ag teacher, he has bad diabetes. And so when they have a sore open up on his foot, he starts working, and he works and works, and he can't even feel it down there. And they had to come in and start with his toe, and then they start working up to his foot of taking that off. So you got to imagine this. Here's this leper. He's got all these cancerous tumors on him. He's got all the skin. The research says the skin scales, and it falls off. And so you can imagine when you have no feeling on your feet and your hands, here's what this guy is going through. We know through the Bible that they've got to do a couple of things. When they approach somebody, they've got to say, unclean, unclean, unclean. The second thing that they've got to do is that they've got to have an uncovered head so that people can see them. They can't have a cloak over their head where people couldn't notice. They've got to be seen. And then another thing that they had to do is they had to wear rags, basically, to show what kind of condition that they were in, that they were poor. A lot of people in those commentators that I read, they said that's just like us as sinners. We're unclean, unclean, unclean. And we're filthy rags before Christ unless his blood has been shed over us. And then you talk about the uncovered head, and there's a lot of ways that you can go into that. But when we look at this today, we see that this man had a very bad problem. Luke is a physician, and in Luke chapter 5, he gives more detail. He says that he had a bad case of leprosy. Mark, remember, Brother David Curry said it's like the gospel on steroids. Mark just gets to the point. Mark doesn't give about his condition or anything like this, that he got there, but Luke kind of gives some insight here. In verse 40, now a leper came to him, imploring him, now listen to this, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. What? What? Luke goes a little deeper. Luke says that the leper called him Lord. Now that's important, I think. So let's look at this for a second. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him. Now look, this is a worshipful attitude where he is kneeling down to Jesus and he is calling him Lord and he is telling him, I know who you are. I know who you are. He says to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. So he knows the power of Christ. He knows the power of Christ. He's heard about the power of Christ. He may have even seen the power of Christ. I don't know that firsthand because lepers were in a camp outside the city. But this man had walked from that camp outside the city with no feeling in his feet, no feeling in his hands, and he went straight to Jesus. Straight to Jesus. Okay? So when he comes to Jesus, he says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Now, I want you to look at verse 41 because this is the epitome of who our Savior is. This is who he is. Mark says, then Jesus moved with compassion. Our Savior has compassion. He has compassion for your plight. He has compassion for the world's plight. He has compassion for my plight. He has compassion. He was moved with compassion. The Greek word means to have a deep pity. A deep pity. Man, I think when you think about what we go through, when you think about what people go through, there is a deep pity for people in the world today. I want to thank New Hope Baptist Church for helping a family out this week that was about to get evicted from a motel room. And you saw fit to make sure that they didn't go out in the cold. And I told some people, I said, if you want to see pitiful, I want you to come with me and look at this. And it's not just here in Mineola, Texas. It could be your neighbor next door. It could be the person right down the road from you. There are pitiful situations if we get our head out of the sand and we look around at us at the people that are hurting and need help. This man needed help. He needed help. He was unclean. He probably looked disfigured. He probably looked ugly to our eyes. And he goes to Jesus for help. He says, I know who you are. And if you're willing, you can heal me. You can heal me. Jesus was moved with compassion. I want you to look at this. He stretched out his hand. Jesus did. And he touched him. Now this is mind-boggling. Because the rabbis would not touch lepers. As a matter of fact, if they came into contact with them, they would go the other way. Rabbinic tradition said that it was more on the power of God to heal a man from coming back from death than to be healed from leprosy. Rabbis would run from them. Rabbis didn't have anything to do with them. What did Jesus do? Jesus touched the leper. Wow. Isn't that powerful? Jesus touched the leper. And he said, Jesus' words said this, I am willing, be cleansed. Be cleansed. Be cleansed. I am willing to heal you. Be cleansed. What happened next? Verse 42. As soon as Jesus had spoken, there's that word again in Mark. He used it, I think the Currys told me, 35 times. Immediately. Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Immediately. That's the power of Jesus. When you are sin sick, and he touches you, praise God this morning that you are not saved by your works, but you're saved by his grace. And so when we look at this today, we see that the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Notice, I said this on Facebook Live, but I want to say this person to person. I hope none of us in here are caught up on the televangelists that are trying to sell you some gimmick of a bottle of water that will cure you, a prayer rag that will heal you, some type of gimmick of where you donate to them and send your prayer grounds in that you will be healed. Those guys are charlatans. Those guys are fakes. Those guys are frauds. Jesus is the one that heals. And that was the focus of last week's sermon. Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the preacher. And when you look at this here today, the leprosy left him immediately. It left him. Now this is interesting in the Greek because of this. It says the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Wow. No gimmicks, no bottle water, no prayer rag, no type of you got to say this 10 times and then this will happen. No gimmicks, no process. Immediately when Jesus touched him, he was cleansed. Now, in verse 42, the Greek verbiage, and I'm not as schooled as I would like to on this, but I want you to understand what this means. He was cleansed. Watch this. In that Greek verbiage, in that Greek phrase, it means this. One part of leprosy is not only the tumors on your skin, the flaking of the skin, the boils all over the skin. It's not just that, but it's also you lose your eyebrows. You lose, like many men in this tradition, wore a beard. Your beard would fall out. Every part of your hair on you would fall out due to this dreadful disease. When Jesus immediately healed him, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. The Greek there means that he was totally restored. That's shouting grounds, church. That's where we go, hallelujah. Because that means that he was totally restored. It means that his eyebrows came back and he had a beard. The beard came back. The boils went off his skin. No more flaking. He was restored to the man that he was before he had leprosy. Wow. Powerful to me. I hope you see the same thing. Listen to what Jesus told him. Now we see a shift. We see a shift. And I want us to walk through this a little bit. Verse 44. And he said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way. Show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." So Jesus told him to do two things. Number one, don't you say anything to anybody. Okay? Don't you say anything to anybody. Because remember, here's what happens if somebody gets healed. Benny Hinn, false prophet, puts on a big show in Dallas, Texas, and says, "I'm going to heal somebody." What's going to happen? Thousands are going to show up and pack that arena because they want to see something. Not many people will come pack a church to hear the word of God, but they'll go pack an arena when they have a false prophet say, "Let me show you what we're going to do." Right? So this is what happened. Jesus said, "Look, I don't want you to say anything," because there would be so many people come to him just wanting physical healing. And I'm going to be honest with you, church, today. I think there's a lot of us, sometimes all we want is physical healing. We don't want the spiritual healing that God gives us through his Son, Jesus Christ. We don't want the power of conviction under the Holy Spirit. We don't want to be discipled. We don't want to be disciplined. We don't want to be trained in the Word. All we want is to be physically healed so that we can feel our best. And Jesus told this leper, "Don't tell anybody." As a matter of fact, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to the priest. You got to understand, they were back in Galilee. It's about a 50-mile walk to Jerusalem. I want you to go to the priest in Jerusalem at the tabernacle. When you go to the priest, I want you to do, look at what he says there in verse 44. He says, "I want you to go to show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." What was he telling him to do? I want you to go back and I want you to follow Leviticus chapter 13 and verse 14. Man, that's some intensive stuff. If you got time, put it in your notes and go read it. Leviticus 13, Leviticus 14. go to the priest, and the priest will have to do a cleansing over you. And here's what the cleansing will be: they will take two birds, one dead bird, one live bird. They will boil the dead bird in a clay pot under some fresh water. Then they will take the blood of that bird and they'll put it on the live bird. Then they'll sprinkle it over you. Where will they start? They will start from your head. They'll go to your hand and they'll go to your feet. What does that symbolize? It symbolizes this: when Jesus Christ went to the cross for us, what did he do? His blood was shed for us, and it covers us whole. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? That my sins from the past have been forgiven. The sins here in the present have been forgiven. The sins in the future have been forgiven, not because of who I am, but because of who our Savior is. That's the thing here. He said, I want you to go show the priest. Remember, Jesus didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law. And as he came to fulfill the law, he wanted to go to show the priest that, look, you may think you have all this power. You may think that you have all this power to be able to cleanse, to be able to heal. But he says, I want to show the priest. There's one healer. There's one high priest. And his name is Jesus Christ. Don't ever forget that, church. Don't ever forget that. As a testimony to them. Look at verse 45. What does this guy do? This is like so many people in the church today. You'll see them one Sunday, get baptized, and you won't ever see them again. Right? You see these people that come up and they make these professions of faith, then you don't ever see them again. This is this same guy right here. Verse 45. Because see what it says, if you're a child of God, a child of God is going to obey the Father. This guy didn't obey the Father. Look at verse 45. Verse 45, however, he went out and began to proclaim it freely. The word proclaim means to herald. He went out and told everybody freely. Hey, guess what Jesus did for me? This is what Jesus will do for you. I had leprosy. If you got something wrong with you, just go to him and he'll heal you of it. He did not do what Jesus instructed him to do. He did the exact opposite. He did exactly what he was told not to do. Mark says that he spread the matter. So what do we know about this guy's character? He's a gossip, right? Jesus told him not to do this. What does he do? He goes out and he spreads it to the whole world. He tells everybody. Jesus could no longer openly enter the city. He couldn't do that because this guy ruined that. Did Jesus know that? Of course he did. Of course he did. Omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. Of course he did. He could no longer enter into the city, but he was outside deserted places. Deserted in the Greek means remote. It means uninhabited. He'd gone out to the desert. He got out of the city. What happened here? Dr. MacArthur preached a sermon, said Jesus traded places with the leper. The leper couldn't come into the city. Now he's in the city. Where's Jesus? Jesus outside the city. He's in the desert, right? And so we look at this here, and what happens? And they came to him from every direction. His popularity was exploding. Why? Was it because of his preaching? No. It's because of his healing. And all these people wanted to be physically healed by Jesus. And we have a movement in our world today of congregations that just want a physical healing. They do not want a spiritual healing. And what our nation needs most is a spiritual healing, not a physical healing. So I want to close with a couple of thoughts here this morning. I want to close with this. Dr. J. Vernon McGee, in his commentary, said when he was in West Texas, he preached for an African-American preacher in a revival. He heard that African-American preacher tell on this story right here. He said that the leper went out and told everybody when he was told not to. And he said, we're told to go out and tell everybody. We don't tell anybody. Dr. McGee said that's probably the wisest advice he had ever heard. That our goal, our call, Our evangelical call is to go out these doors and tell everybody about Jesus, but we keep our mouths shut, don't we? I'm guilty of that. When I have the opportunity to witness to somebody, I'm guilty of that. Can I get a witness from somebody this morning? So I want to close with this. Number one, the priest. The priest could not be convicted of the truth. Why? Because their hearts were cold and indifferent. They held by religious laws rather than the truth and being set free by the one and only Jesus Christ. Number two, there was too much hysteria to keep him from going into the cities. Now he had to go out to the deserted places, the desert places, the remote places. And as he went out to the desert places, I want you to think about that last phrase there. They came to him from every direction. Oh, church, don't we need people coming to Jesus from every direction? But they don't. They don't. You won't see a waiting line at New Hope Baptist Church this morning. You won't see a waiting line at First Baptist Church this morning. You won't see a waiting line at mega churches this morning, but you'll see a waiting line at your favorite restaurant this afternoon. Old people need to come to Jesus. Church, I want to implore you this morning to not come to him for physical healing, even though it's okay to pray for physical healing. It's okay to pray for sickness. It's okay to pray to be restored, to be healed. It's okay. But the main thing that I would like for you to pray for this morning is your spiritual healing. Isaiah 53 says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of peace was upon him. But listen to this, by his stripes we are healed. I want you to listen to that, because I had a really good friend of mine that went to be with the Lord. She truly believed that by his stripes we are healed. And that was talking about a physical healing. It's not. By his stripes we are healed. It is a spiritual healing. His stripes, the stripes that he took for you and I, praise God, salvation found in Jesus Christ, his stripes are for our spiritual healing. And oh, do our souls need to be healed today. Oh, come to him. This leper, he came to him agreeing that certain facts are true about Jesus. I know who you are, and I know you can heal me if you're willing. But you know what? That leper never relied on the true facts of Jesus Christ. You see, if he was a true follower of Jesus Christ, he would have done exactly what the Father had asked him to do. Trust Jesus as your Savior. Receive the greatest gift today. The gift of salvation that comes by what? It comes by grace through faith. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says this, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness. It's not why he saved us, but according to his own mercy. That's why he saved us. By the washing of regeneration. Regeneration means that you once were this way, but now you've been changed to this way. Paul makes it very clear. He says, the old things have gone to the side and all things become new. That's what happens when he spiritually restores us. And he gives us a renewal. Paul wrote to young Titus, he said he gives us a renewal by one thing and one thing alone. He gives us a renewal by his Holy Spirit. How do you know you're a child of his today? The Holy Spirit will convict you. The Holy Spirit will comfort you. The Holy Spirit will guide you. The Holy Spirit will direct you. The Holy Spirit will show you exactly what God's will is for your life. The Holy Spirit is our renewal. We're filled with the Spirit. We are sealed by the Spirit. Paul says, do not quench the Spirit. So as the Holy Spirit is dealing with you this morning, I got a question for you. Do you remember that day that Jesus Christ saved your soul? You remember that day? If you know that day, then here's one thing that you're going to do. You're going to be obedient to him. You're going to follow him. You're going to do what he's called you to do. You're going to love this. You're going to love to communicate with him. You're going to love to sing praises to him. You're going to love to gather together with like-minded people and be around like-minded people that want to praise and be around him. People that don't love Jesus, they don't want to do those things. So this morning, I got a question for you. Are you like the leper? Are you like the leper? Are you like old Peter? John Mark here probably wrote the gospel after. Well, Peter had a lot of ups and downs in his walk with Christ, didn't he? Denied him a couple of times, did this, did that. But you know what happened at the end? Peter preached the gospel. Peter was crucified, and when Peter went to be crucified, he said, "Don't crucify me like my Lord Jesus Christ." He said, "Crucify me upside down." Where's your heart this morning? My heart belongs to Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you for our people this morning. For the ones that may be lost today, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit is knocking off the scales of their eyes, opening up their ears to hear the word preached. And Lord, my prayer is today is that today is the day of salvation. Lord, for us as believers, Lord, let us not get so bogged down on our lives to where we continually look for physical healing and care about our earthly bodies, even though, Lord, we are commanded to take care of them and to pray when we have these sicknesses and things like that. But Lord, I pray today that we want to have a deeper spiritual relationship with you. And that deeper spiritual relationship with you is obedience to your word. Lord, be with our people today. Convict us. Lord, encourage us. Lord, as your Holy Spirit comforts us as we go through our daily walk, let us be an example for somebody in this world. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and Lord, we thank you for meeting with us here today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen.
Thank you for being here today. We appreciate each and every person. If you have any questions about our church, we'd love to visit with you. Come back next Sunday for World Mission Day.
Turn it off. Oh, did he?
Y'all be careful.
See, this is what I can understand. Oh, wait, it was a very great.